Continue looking at the 10th commandment. We see what the commandment requires. The obvious, of course, is contentment, which is the opposite of covetousness. Contentment, like covetousness, is inward. Contentment, though, is an inward submission of the heart. It's the quiet of the heart. It's taking pleasure in God, taking pleasure in God's disposal. We saw last week that it's really a branch of the peace of God that rules in the heart, Colossians 3 and verse 15. It's the opposite of what we read in Isaiah 57. We closed with that last week, which is the sea being troubled, agitated. Contentment, of course, is the opposite of that. It's also the opposite of what we read in Luke chapter 10, verses 40 and 41 with Martha, who was very distracted and distressed and agitated. And in that same house, and we see Mary, and she's a picture of contentment. She's sitting at the feet of Christ. She's refreshed. She has tranquility. Contentment is all around her. And the difference between Mary and Martha on that occasion was that Mary was engrossed and absorbed with Christ, sitting at his feet, listening to him, receiving from him. She was in a state of harmony, and this resulted in joy in her life and resulted in, again, a spirit of contentment. Contentment also is expressed there in Psalm 23 and verse 5, "My cup runneth over." That is contentment. It is tranquility. It's being at peace with the situation, with life. But notice in Philippians chapter 4, and this is what we want to consider today, what we read here. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. Paul speaking. Paul, of course, has experienced and is experiencing at this time imprisonment. He's been stoned, he's been arrested, all kinds of trials and difficulties in his life. He says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith," the therewith going back to whatsoever state I am, "therewith to be content." So Paul is saying, I have learned, and I believe he was still learning, but he says, "I have learned to be content." No one is born with contentment. It's something that we learn through a process of time, through a process of various experiences. Some people, and I'm talking about God's people, some never learn the lesson of contentment. But it's something that we ought to pray that God would teach us, that we would learn whatever state we're in. So contentment has nothing to do with our state, with our circumstances. It's in spite of. We're to be content in whatsoever state I am. So consider this learning contentment. Like anything else, to learn something consists of a series of lessons. It's not just learning one thing. There's many things you have to learn to learn contentment. And this is true in anything. One of the lessons of contentment is self-denial. One will never be content who has not learned the lesson of self-denial. Where is it that we learn these lessons? Well, again, Luke chapter 10, Mary is a good example. The best place to learn these lessons is at the feet of Christ. So whatever our circumstances be, it would be good for us to go through those circumstances at the feet of Christ. And at the feet of Christ, we listen to Him, we receive from Him, and we learn. We learn many things. But one thing we learn is contentment, and we learn the lessons leading up to contentment. Again, before one can be content, they have to learn to deny themselves, which is part of the realization that we are not the center of the world, that we are not the center of life, that life is not about us. Jesus taught the lesson of self-denial. Notice in Matthew chapter 16, very familiar verses, and then we'll go over to Luke 14, other familiar verses. But in Matthew 16, verse 24, he's teaching them here, if you read the context, that he's introduced to them for the first time that he's going to die, that he's going to go to the cross. And then he begins to teach them what they needed to know in relation to this as far as how to live their life. And in verse 24, then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, okay, and there's one of the keys to contentment. We have to go after Christ. That's what we have to be pursuing. If we're pursuing other things, we're not going to be content. So if any man will come after me, and the word will there shows that there's a desire to do this. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. And once he's done that, he can take up his cross and follow me. But a prerequisite to following Christ is to deny self. And one of the prerequisites of contentment is to follow Christ. Now, along those same lines, notice Luke chapter 14, verse 26 and verse 27. If any man come to me and hate not his father, and Jesus is speaking comparatively here, and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. It doesn't say that he probably won't be. It doesn't say that he won't be a very good disciple. It says he can't be. You can't even enter into discipleship as long as other things, other people, are put ahead of the Lord. Verse 27, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me, he cannot be my disciple. But again, prerequisite to bearing the cross is what? To deny self. So the most formidable obstacle of true contentment is self. That's the biggest obstacle to contentment. Self. We have to realize that. We have to realize that in all things. Our biggest obstacle is not our circumstances. Our biggest obstacle is not someone else. Our biggest obstacle in life is self. Until we realize that, you're not going to live a victorious life. Self, it is self that gets in the way. It is self that leads to misplaced priorities. It's self that leads to misplaced concerns. So self must be opposed by self, by us. Self must be turned down. And this is where we get into to deny self. Deny self. What does that mean? What does it mean to deny self? Again, it's in the context of following Christ. That's the context. Every time Jesus spoke of denying self, it's in the context of following Him. So that's in the context. It's in that context that we must consider it. To deny self is to cease to consider our own ease, our own pleasure, our own agenda as a priority. Those cannot be our priority. If we're going to follow Christ, and we have to follow Christ if we're going to learn contentment, if we're going to follow Christ, our own ease and our own enjoyment cannot be a priority. It cannot be our agenda. It cannot be our purpose in life. To deny self is to renounce our own right to rule our lives. To follow Christ is to submit to Him. It is to submit to His rule in our life. In order to follow Christ, we must deny self. That is, we must renounce what we think is our right to rule our own lives. How many times people say, yes, yes, I know what the Bible says, but, in other words, I don't care what it says, this is what I have decided to do. They have not renounced what they consider their right to rule their life. And again, this is a lesson that we have to learn if we're going to be content. We have to deny self. To deny self is that we give up our own life, and we give it up in order to be molded by the Lord. That is, we don't try to mold our own life. We give that life, we surrender that life, that He would mold our life, that He would shape our life. We give up our life, we submit our life in order that He will train us, in order that He will teach us. And what does He train us and what does He teach us to do? He trains us to be transformed and conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. So this is foundational in learning contentment. We have to learn to deny self. Don't kid yourself. If we have not learned to deny self, we are not content. We are not content. Oh, we can be content when everything's going our way. But in order to learn contentment, we have to learn the lesson of self-denial. And the Lord teaches us this lesson all through our lives. Every now and then, times we get out of sorts and we think, it's my life, I'll live it as I please. No one's going to tell me what to do. And God allows us to, He just lets go. We fall on our face. We suffer the consequences of that. That is a lesson in self-denial. That is teaching us you need to deny yourself. You need to just submit to the Lord. So to deny self is a lesson that we must learn. Secondly, we have to learn the lesson of personal unworthiness. If we're going to be content, if we're going to be content in whatever state I am, whatever the circumstances be, we have to learn that we are unworthy. We're unworthy of the blessings of God. Now, if we truly learn that lesson, I do not deserve any blessings from God. Now, if I truly believe that, am I going to be upset when God blesses someone else? No, because I realize I'm not losing. I don't deserve anything anyway. But most people never, ever, ever learn the lesson of personal unworthiness. That is, to the degree that it is practiced in our life. Notice in Genesis 32, again, familiar verse. Genesis chapter 32 and verse 10. This is Jacob. Now, Jacob has learned a lot of lessons, and here's one of them. I am not worthy of the least of all thy mercies. Need to just spend a day thinking upon those words. I'm not worthy of the least of all the mercies and all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. Unworthiness. If we truly feel unworthy, contentment is just the natural result of that. Now, a branch of this unworthiness is a branch of humility. This is a branch of humility. We have to learn humility. Notice in Philippians chapter 2, again, familiar verse of Scripture. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but, okay, here's the cure for strife and vainglory. In lowliness of mind, that's humility, let each esteem other better than themselves. In other words, you look at some, this is in church relationship here, but you take the who you perceive to be the worst church member, and you say, they're better than I am. They're better than I am. That's what this is talking about. Let each esteem other. We're to esteem other better than ourselves, more worthy than ourselves. So humility is lowliness of mind, which of course leads to this attitude of I am not worthy of the least of all thy benefits. It is a profound self-abasement before God. Humility, leading again to this spirit of unworthiness. It is a low estimation of ourselves. And what Philippians 2:3 is talking about is not a low estimation of ourselves in relation to God, though that is true, but that's not the context there. It's a low estimation of ourselves in relation to others. Hopefully all of us realize and have a low estimation of ourselves in relation to God. I mean, if you don't, you've really got problems. But hopefully we have that. But it needs to go further than that. It is a low estimation of ourselves in relation to others as well. And again, this is part of self-denial also. If we're going to deny self, we have to have a spirit of humility. We have to, we have to really believe God is more able to direct my life than I am. Therefore, I'm just going to give it to Him. And these are lessons that we have to learn. If we're going to learn the lesson of contentment. Did not Paul learn to deny self? Certainly he did. Did not Paul learn the lesson of humility? Certainly he did. As long as there is a sense of worthiness, there's not going to be true contentment. As long as there's pride, there's not going to be contentment. The third lesson that we need to learn, and we need to stop, is the lesson of the vanity of the temporal. The lesson of the vanity of this life. Those who are not content, those who covet what others have, whether it be material possessions or whatever, they have not been convinced of the vanity of the things of this life. They see importance in those things, and therefore they long after them. They lust after them. They get angry if somebody else has them and they don't. So they haven't learned self-denial. They haven't learned humility. And they haven't learned the vanity of the temporal, and that's where we'll pick up next week. So when Paul says, I have learned to be content, there are many lessons that lead up to. We're just going to look at six. There's many, but there are many lessons that we need to learn before we can truly be content. Not only do and we don't learn these lessons just one time. It's things that we learn continuously every day. Because of our nature, we forget. And therefore, we have to be taught over and over and over again. Let's look to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, again for another day that you've given us. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of life. We thank you for the life that you've allowed us to live. And we thank you, Lord, that you've given us guidelines and you've put borders around our lives for our own protection, for our own good. We pray, Lord, that you'd help us to submit to your teachings. Help us, Lord, to submit to your ways in all things in our life. We do pray, Lord, that you'd help us to worship you today in spirit and truth. Draw us closer to thee. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.